What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Yonas, filling in as host once again for Sarah Rudolph. And with me today, I have Associate Director of Communications, Jessica Radford. I think this might be our first time on the pod together, Jess.
We've never done it. You've always, you know, opt out for air.
Whatever. That wasn't, you know, totally my decision, but excited to have you on and help me talk about a little football and a few other sports we have going on. We even got basketball creeping up on us, which is crazy.
Time just moves so fast.
I know. It's wild. This crazy time of year, this like pre-crossover season era in October. So, we are in full swing with weekday CUSA. We had another week of kind of moving into our Tuesday, Wednesday slate. We had games on Wednesday, Thursday this past week. And to give you a little glimpse of some of the best moments of week seven and our second week of weekday CUSA, we're going to jump right into our top plays, our top five best moments from this past week. We start at number five. Cam Cook just doing incredible things as he's done week in, week out. Busts off 73-yard rush against Sam Houston.
This play was really, really good. Like I said, when this watch is over, I'm like, he just bulldozing through people. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to shed tackles has been extremely impressive this year so far. Number four, Deuce Bailey in his first career start throws a touchdown pass to Ronnell Johnson in the back of the end zone here.
A complete dot. Yeah. And the freshman.
a great throw. He had some great moments. They picked up their first CUSA win in program history. So we'll see what happens, with Jacob Clark and how that situation develops. But a great week nonetheless for the freshman. Number three, Hunter Watson in what was probably the best game overall this week. Hits Chris Reed for a touchdown here right at the corner of the end zone. Ooh, just the ability to get a foot down there is crazy.
They were pushing points for sure in this game.
Yeah. It was a thriller. It came down to a play coming up here in a bit. But we go to number two now. Coleman Bennett caps a big win over La Tech. Rumbles 50 yards down the field for the touchdown here in the fourth quarter. Ooh, just going. Man.
Track star.
Yeah, I mean, he was making a lot of these defenders look silly here on this one, but great win for Kennesaw. We'll talk with Tylan Dunlap from their defense later in the show. And number one, as I alluded to, Garrison Ripa lets it Ripa for 52 yards for the walk-off win.
Career high for him, right?
Career high. And what a moment for him, right? I mean, you get the play. Really, the top play may have been the 5-yard pass that set him up. You know, he was looking at a 57-yarder. He's probably sweating a little bit. They say, all right, we got a few seconds to maybe get you some help. They got exactly what he needed and to be able to get that one and a big win for the Gamecocks. But we'll talk more about that one here later. Let's go through our full week seven weekday CUSA slate here. We'll start with Missouri State, Middle Tennessee. This was, like I said, first win for Missouri State, or first CUSA win for Missouri State in comeback fashion. This was a fun one, definitely.
Yeah, and they were on the road as well, so I know that was pretty big for Missouri State. 22-20, very, very close game. And with Jacob Clark out with a knee injury, I believe, we were all a little nervous. We're like, all right, is the freshman able to do it? You know, his name is Deuce, but he was number one in all of Missouri State's fans, okay? And I stole that from the ESPN, too.
There you go. I was like, man, that's good. That's good.
I watched that game from start to finish. And in the first quarter, it was a little shaky. But, I mean, as a freshman, your first true start, of course, you got nerves. You're just like, oh, my gosh, like, am I able to do it? Or, you know, he just needed one dime throw. Mm-hmm. Got the catch, and then I feel like it was lights out after that. He just needed that one.
Yeah.
He did so well for them.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we talked about it last week when we were previewing these games. Kind of had low expectations for them if Jacob Clark didn't play, but he definitely proved us wrong. Deuce finished 16-31, 278 yards and a touchdown. Added a little bit of action on the ground and a rushing score. Like you said, you know, got off to a little bit of a sluggish start. Kind of expected that. You know, he did play half of the WKU game after he had to come in for Jacob. But, you know, we saw a few glimpses here and there, but overall it was like, you could tell there were definitely some struggles just you know, with it being his first time on the field for Missouri State, still learning the playbook a little bit. Now that he had a full week of practice to, you know, work with the ones, get a lot of that under his belt, you really saw it come together. And, yeah, led three straight scoring drives in the second quarter, led the, you know, game-winning drive that ended in that field goal. So saw a lot of really good moments from him. You know, interested to see how that plays out with, you know, I think up until – you know, Tuesday or really game day, we kind of thought maybe there's a chance mm-hmm. that Jacob plays. So
kept real quiet.
Yeah. Kept real quiet. So we'll see how that develops this next week as he gets a couple more practices in. But I mean, man, you got to feel good if you're Ryan Beard knowing that if he does have to miss some time, or if you're not totally, you're like, he's like 80%, mm-hmm. but let's give him another week. You got to feel pretty good about where you're at.
I think it was just a perfect scenario for Deuce Bailey. He is a Bowling Green, Kentucky native, 100 miles away from Murfreesboro. His family was in the stands. I feel like every time he did something good, you could literally hear it on the broadcast of just his family cheering. Great moment for him, probably after that game, just getting the win. So I think this was the perfect setup for him and just boosting his confidence for, you know, the next game or the next couple games, just depending on how Clark is.
Yeah. And then for middle, you know, we saw another solid game for Nick Vadiato and Ja'Kale Middlebrook in that backfield, but ultimately another one that slips through their fingers. So, you know, really interested to see just they've had a few games here they've been in and unfortunately haven't gone their way, how they kind of handle that, roll with the punches a little bit, and, you know, maybe potentially start to stack some wins here as they go to the second half of the season.
One thing I love about Middle Tennessee, though, is Derek Mason is always so positive. It's just like he has no negative bone in his body, and he's like through and through so confident in this Blue Raiders team. I mean, as he should. I mean, he's the coach. He's the helm of this team. But it's just like, he's like, no, we got it. Like, we're good still. And I just, like, love it. I think the players feed off of that as well. It's just, we got to get a little couple just to go their way.
Yeah. And, you know, with a coach like that, like you mentioned, you know, you're like, all right, we'll get there eventually. Like, it'll come with time. Like, don't lose hope yet, Blue Raider fans. But, so congrats to Missouri State on a big win. But what else do we have Wednesday night?
We had Liberty visiting the Sun Bowl, one of your favorite places.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think all of our favorite places. I know Dane loves it. It's I think it might still be the background on his on his computer, but
Liberty's defense powered them through this game against UTEP, and that's ultimately what made them just win this 19-8.
Yeah.
Liberty did good this week.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, with the offense, we talked about Ethan Vasco coming back into the fold, how that would play out for them. You know, he finished with 243 yards, rushed for 31 yards in his return. But, you know, really the only complaint with Liberty, I was obviously super impressed with the defensive performance, but would have loved to see a little better red zone execution. They put a lot on the shoulders of their kicker, Jay Billingsley. I mean, have to shout out to him for converting all night. But, you know, could have been a bigger, you know, a bigger statement win for them if they turned, you know, those 3-point trips into 7-point trips. But again, yeah, defense definitely bailed them out all night. We had 14 different players who had a sack, tackle for loss, interception, or pass breakup. And mind you, I mean, as you know, only 11 players on the field. So, I mean, they were running, all these guys were contributing. And really through three quarters, I know Jamie made a joke about it in the post-game press conference that he thought he was going to get the donut, you know, held him to 66 yards and shut him out through three quarters. They let him get one late touchdown to spoil the shutout, but, still he's probably got to feel pretty positive about his defense, after this week.
No, for sure. And what do you think some things that UTEP needs to do, especially going into conference play games?
Yeah. I mean, UTEP, you know, they kind of had the same, they've had the same situation this year. You know, their defense has done some really great things for them, especially up front. You know, they're top 15 in the nation in sacks and tackles for loss. They're very disruptive defense. And I think you saw that, right? I mean, they still held Liberty to 19 points. And really defended them when it mattered, when they got down to the red zone. But, I mean, this offense is just, I mean, I'll say it, it's just dysfunctional, right? And, you know, you bench Malachi Nelson, which I hate for him that with all he's been through, you know, he gets to UTEP, you feel like that maybe this is the place for him to shine. And he has some positive moments to start the year, and it just seems like it's fizzled out. I know they've dealt with some injuries on the offense that maybe have limited what they're capable of. But, you know, it just feels like they go out there and there's no rhythm, there's no sync, and they're not able to move the ball down the field. So, you know, they've got to get some answers there, get some consistency, you know, whether that's Skylar Locklear or turning it back to Malachi Nelson and saying, all right, we're just going to stick to it, because eventually, you know, kind of like Middle Tennessee, I mean, you know, they're riding with the punches right now and just saying, all right, well, if Nick Vadiato throws for 275 yards a game, we're getting 100-yard games out of your running backs, you're not going to go 0-12 if you're doing that every game. Eventually, that will turn into wins. So they just need to find that level of consistency from some of their weapons. And, you know, and I think the wins will come, because we know that Scotty Walden's recruited a ton of talent through the portal, through just recruiting in the state of Texas to this team. And now it's just about execution.
You know what? It's still time.
There's still time. There's still time. We're only halfway through the year.
Exactly. You can't count none of these teams out, I feel like. It's always a sneaker team that surprises us by the time the end of the season comes around.
Yeah, definitely.
La Tech at Kennesaw. This game,
woo!
I was telling Josh, I'm like, I think everybody in the United States of America thought this game was going to go.
I think even most of Cobb County didn't even see this one coming. I mean, I'm sure there's Kennesaw State fans that say they thought this was coming, but like, no one saw this coming, and certainly not, you know, the way that it played out.
I'm going to say, especially the score. It was just 35-7. You know, La Tech, what, held LSU to just, you know, what?
23-20. Yeah, I can't remember what the score that was.
Go from there to this, they're like, wow.
Yeah, and we've talked on this podcast extensively. We put on social media. I've got it in my notes every week. Like, all we talked about is this La Tech defense. Yeah. And I think, you know, I did kind of allude to this in talking with some other people. You know, it's great that you get the turnovers and all that stuff. But like I told Trey, I was like, I want to see what happens if someone plays a clean game. Because when you really look into the defensive stats, like they still allow a lot of yards. You know, obviously the points they kept down, and you know, the games just kind of got out of hand because they were scoring defensive touchdowns that really just took the wind out of opposing offenses. But I was like, all right, I need to see one team just like not turn the ball over, like, and just really beat them throughout the game. And we saw like Kennesaw took a little bit to get it going, kind of figure out where they could exploit the La Tech defense. But man, did they get it going.
Okay, all they needed, La Tech scored that opening drive. They're like, oh no,
yeah,
okay, like we're this is not how it's.
I got a little nervous because I was at this game and I was like, you know, I saw La Tech drive down and I was like, dang, I was like, you know, I was kind of hoping for a better game, but like it feels just like La Tech's just gonna, you know, shut them down like they have with everybody else. And yeah, from there it was just a totally different ball game.
You know, one thing about it, if Josh thinks something happens, the complete opposite happens. So
It's
if
true.
If you want
it's
your
true.
Team to win, you need Josh to run against you.
Well, I guess good. I don't know. Good news for Missouri State, because yeah, when I Kennesaw did great with me in attendance, and I'm going to Missouri State in a couple weeks. So you know, maybe that'll be good luck for them. But
hey, just like Missouri State had Pete Bailey, really good for them. Dexter Williams did really, really good.
Wow.
For Kennesaw.
Yeah, and this one was an interesting one because I mean, all signs pointed towards Amari Odom coming out to play. We knew he was a little banged up, but you know, he wasn't on the injury reports. We were like, okay, and just in talking with their staff, you know, they looked at this game as like, okay, we think that we can, you know, put Dexter out there. He'll play a good game. Like he just kind of matched up better. And that gives us a chance to, you know, let Amari get to 100%. You know, they get an extra a week of rest now. So, you know, obviously it worked out. Hindsight 2020. I mean, Jerry Mack looks like a genius. And Dexter Williams put up an incredible performance. He was named to the Davey O'Brien Grade 8. He was named to the Manning Awards Stars of the Week. Just an awesome opportunity for him to go out there and shine. You know, he was the week one starter. You know, unfortunately lost that job. So you knew he was going to come into this one with a chip on his shoulder. And yeah, I mean, he was the star of the show. He threw for 290 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, which obviously is the biggest point of any game against La Tech. They were the FBS leader with 11 interceptions going into this game. So, for Dexter to, again, really take care of the ball, that was a huge key to this win for the Owls.
Yes, Kennesaw State is 4-2 overall, 2-0 in Conference USA play. And I think they might be emerging as one of the top contenders.
Yeah,
actually.
It's starting to point that way for sure. You know, again, we've seen their explosiveness on offense. Now we're starting to see, you know, the defense, it was kind of tough to tell, right? Because you know, after they played Indiana, which now Indiana might be the CFP favorite, you know, the defense didn't look great. You know, they got blown out in that game. And, you know, but since then, we've started to see them really start to turn the page. And now it's like, well, is Kennesaw the best defense in the league, right? We thought it was La Tech, but now the page has kind of turned into them. But, yeah, I mean, this was a great, great performance for the Owls overall. You know, we talk a lot about the home field advantage for Kennesaw State, too. And they've now won five straight at home, six of their last seven if you go back to the win against Liberty last year. There's something special about those games. I really enjoyed my experience there, you know, made a lap around the stadium, like, throughout the game, just kind of checking it out. They had a great student turnout, saw the Banana Boys in attendance. You know, the band was great. Like, it was just awesome. And I love their stadium. You know, I know some people might feel a certain way about some of the smaller stadiums in FBS, but you know, for some of our schools, like, it's just awesome having that intimate environment, and it feels, you know, like a bigger
crowd.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, it was a great trip. I was really excited that I got the chance to go out there. You know, the campus is beautiful. For whoever goes out there, you know, just it was definitely unassuming, because like, you fly into Atlanta and you only drive 30 minutes outside of Atlanta, and then it's like, boom, there's Kennesaw Mountain and there's all these trees, and like, the campus is just, yeah, it was really nice. I had a great experience. Shout out to Jericho Washington Jr., by the way, that recommended on the pod at Media Day. He said, check out Big Fish and Chicken. And I was like, all right, sold. Like, you had me at lemon pepper wings. I didn't even need to hear the rest. But, and he had even said, like, when he was talking about it, he's like, yeah, it's in a gas station. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe it's just like, this was like, I mean, it wasn't in the gas station, but it was right next to the gas station. You pull up and it's just like, it looks like one of those places that you're like, this is going to be some good food, you know? Right.
Like, Josh sent the picture of it and I was immediately jealous. I'm like, oh my God, I want some.
It's no, I was like, all right, I got to try a little bit of everything. Went with the two piece fish, five wings, got me some catfish, and it was, you know, for someone who's had a lot of really good catfish in Texas, this was incredible.
Great. Now I need to go to Kennesaw.
I know. I was like, I'm gonna start getting hungry talking about this, but yeah, lemon pepper wings were fire. The fries were great. Hush puppies were some of the best I've had. So shout out Big Fish and Chicken, for all of you who make your way out to Kennesaw, or for our staff, we go out there for any events. Definitely gotta hit it up. So. Yeah.
Hey, we had a big, great time at Kennesaw for you. Which you also had a great time at their game, Jack State at Sam Houston. Yeah. And this was almost a nail biter. Garrison Ripa, 52-yard. I'm pretty sure everybody in the stadium was holding their breath.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, this was probably instantly like top three weekdays. I knew we're only in year three, but I just had to put together a list of moments. One of the CBS producers was like wanting to put together a whole piece for one of their upcoming games. And he's like, oh, like, what have been some of the top moments, like field storms, all that kind of stuff? And I was like, dude, there have been plenty of just like overtime games, great finishes. I mean, obviously we had the big field storm at Kennesaw last year and they beat Liberty. But I was like, man, I gotta go add this one to the mix. Cause yeah, this was an instant classic. And like I talked about, the field goal was awesome, but like, I think the play of the game for Jack State was this play right before they hit Pearson Baldwin for a 5-yard pass. And what was crazy and like a little frustrating for me, like against Sam Houston, is, you know, they call timeout right before the play. You know what they're going to do, right? Because they have no timeouts. They're 7 seconds. There's only one place they can go. They're going to run an out route, and because they just want a handful more yards to get a better field goal opportunity. And I mean, they let them do it. Like, there's just no defense. And I'll be like, guys, what are you doing? And so, yeah, I mean, ultimately Jack State, you know, comes down to some of that late game decision making and execution, and they did it. And that drive just to get there, you know, you go 48 yards in less than a minute to set up the game-winning field goal. This was just a huge win for Jack State. You know, you thought, uh-oh, like, they might be on the ropes for a little bit. Sam Houston might get their first win. But, you know, Jack State, they're tied with Kennesaw for second now, 2-0 in CUSA play.
So I do want to shout out Sam Houston, though, because at first we literally thought it was going to lean Jack State. Yeah. But they were fighting in it. They were putting their all in it. And unfortunately, it went Jack State's way. But hey, the leading moments up to that, they kept in there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Hunter Watson, I know that Coach Longo expressed a lot of confidence in just how he's, you know, improving as the year goes on. He had a great game, threw a couple touchdown passes to Chris Reed. We obviously showed one of them on top plays. But, you know, really, Jack State was just a little too much for Sam Houston in this one. And I mean, really, if you looked at the box score, you'd think that this was a much bigger win for Jack State. I mean, they almost doubled up Sam Houston on yardage in this game. Cam Cook had 218 yards and two touchdowns. He has two of the top five yardage totals in the FBS this year. Hey. he is something special, and that is just something like this system that Jack State has for O linemen, for running backs, like it is just next man up, right? Like they lost Clay Webb, they lost Trey Stewart. They said, all right, that's fine. Like we got dudes that are coming. I mean, they're obviously sad they lost those guys, but I mean, they were well equipped to, you know, they brought Cam Cook in the portal, who had a really impressive year at TCU last year. And he's proving how special he can be this year. So, but yeah, it was a really fun week in week seven of Weekday CUSA. It continues in week eight. We'll talk a little bit on the other side of our interview. We'll preview some of our games for this upcoming week. But as I mentioned before, we've got a great interview with Kennesaw State defensive lineman Tylan Dunlap coming off of a great win over Louisiana Tech. Enjoy our conversation with Tylan. Joining us now on CUSA Insider is Kennesaw State defensive lineman Tylan Dunlap coming off a huge win over Louisiana Tech in week seven. Tylan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
All right. So let's start with this win over Louisiana Tech. Going back to last year, you guys obviously had what was a program defining win over Liberty. Already have a couple great wins over Arkansas State, Middle Tennessee this year. But how special was this win over Louisiana Tech?
This one was definitely very special, just knowing how good of a team that they were, how hot they were coming in, and, you know, they were ranked number one in defense, so we knew that this would be a tough challenge to, you know, get a victory in, but we knew that we had a great team also, so just having to fight it out with those guys and coming out with the victory was definitely something to be happy about that night.
The Bulldogs go down and score on their opening drive, but from then on, it was lights out. What did Coach Mattioli say to the group just to get you guys going and help control the game from there?
It was more of just us as leaders on the defense, just telling everyone, like, we're all right. You know, we had a slow start, but we know, like, it's still the first quarter, so we know we just got to lock in and do everything that we're coached to do that. We'll be all right, so. Coach Mattioli always preached that the leaders of the defense is going to be what keeps us going. So definitely the leaders.
You finished with eight stops, two TFLs, two sacks, and a pass breakup. What was clicking well for you that night?
Just the flow of the game. I kind of just felt free. We had a great week of preparation of kind of knowing what they're going to do and just going out and executing our scheme. I just felt kind of free going out there and was able to make plays.
What was the energy like in the locker room afterwards, and how do you guys plan to keep the momentum going from here?
The energy in the locker room after the game was amazing. You know, we was all happy about the win because we knew how good of a team that we were playing. So we knew that we were able to come out with this win. It would be something a little special. And, you know, just going forward, we know that, you know, last week was last week. We know that we still have more tough opponents coming up. So just having fun last week and leaving it there and just re-locking in, getting back to our preparation, getting ready for FIU.
I liked what you said earlier just about it being, you know, a player-led defense. You know, for you, year two as a starter on the defense, you know, how important was last year in kind of laying the foundation for what you guys are doing this year?
Last year was definitely important because, like, a lot of the guys that we have now, they were on defense last year, you know, with a couple new additions. So just last year, I feel like our defense was pretty good. You know, we weren't the best, but we were pretty good. So just adding in some key pieces this year, Coach Mattioli coming in, bringing his staff, and then just coaching us up to have the execution that he expects out of us, and we've just been able to run with it.
And then for you personally, how has your leadership role evolved and what, you know, what kind of identity do you try to instill in that group?
My leadership role has evolved a lot. Last year, you know, a lot of the coaches would tell me that I'm a leader, but I just wasn't as comfortable yet because it was my first year in Kennesaw. So, you know, coming in this year, I noticed my last year and I know, like, I have expectations for myself and as well as the other defensive linemen. So just trying to just keep everyone on the defense head going, like just ready to learn, ready to attack the day every day, and just trying to give great energy, even though, you know, some days may be harder than others, just give great energy as much as we can and we'll let the chips fall from there.
You talked a lot about Coach Mattioli and some of the changes on that defensive staff. You know, obviously going through the coaching change from last year to this year, what have been some of the biggest differences in the defensive philosophies, and what have they done to really help you elevate your game personally?
Just a change of scheme. You know, I love Coach Mattioli's scheme. He allows everyone to play free. He'll give us the tools that we need, so we're not just handicapped with what he calls. He's giving us the ability, if we see some things, to change it. So just being able to be out there and play free, knowing what each other has around us, just, you know, he's been doing a great job with us so far.
You guys won 5 straight at home, 6 of your last 7, going back to that Liberty win last year. You know, I was there Thursday night. It was a great environment, great student turnout, even on a Thursday night. But how special is it getting to play in the SAW, as you guys say?
Oh, it's definitely amazing playing in the SAW. You know, last year was my first year, and I really didn't know what to expect. So, you know, just watching the fans come in, no matter what day the game is on, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they always have great energy. They always rally behind us. So I just love playing at home. You know, it's really hard. It makes it harder for the other team to win, you know, with our fans screaming and yelling at them. And we just love playing at home.
You guys are 4-2 now. Losses to Wake Forest, who's 4-2, and Indiana, who might be one of the hottest teams in the country right now. So I'm sure the outlook's changed on how your record looks a little bit, but it feels like this win was a major turning point and maybe kind of putting you guys in the CUSA championship contention. So, I mean, would y'all agree with that? What's kind of the feelings inside the team right now?
You know, we're just excited about getting a win, but we know that we got 6 more tough opponents in our league coming up. So no week is going to be easy. We can't go on a no week taking anything for granted of what we've done. So just having a attacking each week, preparing each week for each opponent is the key thing that we have to do.
Yeah, next game up. I like that mentality for sure. Your path to Kennesaw, you know, obviously had a couple steps. You started at Georgia State. What made Kennesaw an ideal destination for you?
When I was at Georgia State, you know, I don't know, like, everyone's been there, but it's not really a campus. It's more of the downtown feel. So I always wanted to go to a school with more of a campus feel. So, like, taking that first visit to Kennesaw, I was actually blown away because I've never been to Kennesaw before the visit. So just coming down here and see everything that they had to offer, walking around campus, seeing all the students walking around, it just felt like a actual campus feel. So I just fell in love with it from that day.
What stands out to you about the culture there in Kennesaw?
Just like a lot of people are really behind the football team. Like, it's a community that actually cares about the football team. They actually want to see the football team do good. They invest in the football team. So it's just something new that I haven't experienced since I've been in college. So it's definitely something cool.
You're listed at 6'1", 260, maybe a little bit on the smaller side for an FBS interior guy. But does that give you a little chip on your shoulder? And what do you do to kind of complement that, you know, with your game on the field?
Yeah, you know, definitely a little bit on the smaller side. That's what I've been told my whole life. But it does give me a little chip on my shoulder. You know, I don't really care how big that the other guy is, because we put on our pads the same way. So it's just me watching film and just knowing the technique that I have to play with, it makes me able to take on some of the blocks that a guy usually my size wouldn't be able to. So just learning my technique, honing in on my craft, trying to get better every day at it.
Who are some guys maybe in the NFL that you look after and try to model your game after?
I really just try to watch any D lineman in the NFL, because any D lineman in the NFL is special to be out there taking those blocks on. So just trying to see some things that I didn't know, just watch some of their technique, watch some of their pass rushing moves, and sometimes just listen to how they break the game down, some of the ways that they think, some of the way they watch film. That was just some of the things I try to do.
One thing I saw on you, you're a public administration major, definitely a rarer one that we've seen from one of our student athletes. What drew you to that field, and maybe what are some of your aspirations when you're done playing football?
So before I even did the public administration, I'd never done anything in that like category. But we have our running back, Coleman Bennett. He's also a public administration. So he had told the team about how they have some openings and if somebody needed to get in the master's. So I reached out and I was able to get in. And ever since I've been in, I've actually learned a lot more than I knew, because I've talked to the head of the Master G's, taught me a lot. And just being in the class, it definitely teaches me a lot of the things about the government that I did not know. And some aspirations, just being a master's, you know, you never know where life will take you. So just trying to find a way to get as much education out of school as I can. Maybe one day becoming a grad assistant, who knows? So I'm just trying to, you know, get everything out of it that I can.
Well, if you and Coleman get into public office, maybe we'll see some Bennett Dunlap campaign stickers or something one day, right?
Yeah, you might get something going on Dunlap president.
That's awesome. Well, Tylan, just to kind of finish this up here, as you guys head into the back half of the season, as you mentioned, obviously a lot of big opportunities coming up, but what's the message that you guys are sending, you know, both to the Kennesaw fans, but also just to the nation about this Owls team?
But we're a good team. You know, we have a lot of changes, but we're going to play hard. We can compete with anyone. So just going out there, trying to win, trying to do our best to reach our goals is going to be something that we're trying to preach over these last couple weeks that we have. I don't know how many it is, but yeah, just trying to go out there, prepare every week like we've done in the first 6 weeks to the next 6 weeks, trying to take it one step at a time so we can give our fans, you know, the goal that they want to see from us also.
Any big plans for the bye week, or just going to be studying up on FIU?
Oh, yeah, it ain't no bye week for real. We play next week.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Tylan, thank you so much for joining CUSA Insider. Just really appreciative of you taking the time this morning or this afternoon, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Tylan Dunlap for joining the podcast. It was a great conversation, great recap of their big win over Louisiana Tech in week 7. But now coming up, we got week 8, another week of weekday CUSA. Jess, what do we got on the slate for this week?
For Tuesday, New Mexico State at Liberty, 6 p.m., CBS Sports Network. We'll see if the Liberty can get another one in a win column.
Yeah, I mean, always good to go back home after a big win. You know, they've got a great environment there in Williams Stadium. I know that they're going to have it bumping even on a Tuesday night. You get a game against New Mexico State, which is kind of, you know, over the recent years has formed into like this little unofficial rivalry, because I know they played a few times as independents before they joined CUSA. They meet in the 2023 championship game. You know, obviously, they played a couple times in the regular season, but another good one on hand, I think, in this one. You know, we talked a lot about the Liberty defense in the win over UTEP. And now they've got another big test, because New Mexico State, 18th in the nation in passes over 20 yards. But that's something that Liberty has been, you know, even with some of their other defensive struggles, they've done a really good job at limiting the big plays. And so it'll be a challenge for Logan Fife, see if they can get the ball moving down the field in this one.
It's just like turnovers. That's the thing that's going to really be key in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, who wins that battle?
Yeah, definitely. Because I know that, you know, New Mexico State has been up there in turnovers game. They've been very disruptive, especially forcing fumbles. And, you know, that's something Liberty has struggled with. Now, a lot of it is, you know, due in part to, you know, having Ethan Vasco out for a game and a half virtually. But, you know, they need to keep control of the ball if they want to win games. Because, yeah, that's ultimately one of the biggest things that points to, like, whoever's going to win. Usually whoever wins the turnover battle, probably going to win the game. So I think for this one, for both teams, is who can build drives, because neither one of these teams, they both rank really towards the bottom of FBS in first downs on offense, and they're both defenses specialize in not allowing a lot of first downs. So it's going to depend on, like, who can get, you know, who can stay on the field on third down, whose defense will continue to, you know, succeed on those leverage downs, get off the field. I think that's going to be another big thing to watch in this one. So I'm excited for this one. A great weekday CUSA matchup, because there's just a lot of intrigue. Liberty's kind of still trying to right the ship after a slow start. New Mexico State feels like a much improved team in year two under Tony Sanchez. Kind of, you know, I mean, they're sitting at, you know, 3-3 right now, or 3-2 right now. So got your eyes going into the back half of the year of like, hey, we could be a bowl team. So this is going to be a big one for them, for sure.
Ooh, I'm excited for that one. I'm also excited for this FIU at WKU, ESPNU at 7 p.m. Central. I'll be at this game.
Yeah.
So maybe I can provide some look for some teams. I don't know. I'm not about to choose the bulky dive. I don't know. But I think it'll be a really, really good game. WTU's coming off a bye, right? I think both of them are.
Yeah. Both coming off a bye, so well-rested. Yes. Yep.
So this one will be an interesting one.
Yeah, and a great quarterback matchup between Maverick McIver and Kiwon Jenkins. I think, obviously, this one should favor Maverick McIver. We know what to expect out of this WKU passing offense. But FIU, 127th in the nation in passing yards allowed. So this could be another big one for Maverick. On the flip side, another one we've talked about a lot is this FIU run game. You know, they're top 50 in the nation in rushing offense. And that's something in recent weeks. We saw it against Missouri State. We saw it against Delaware, that WKU has struggled against opposing run games. So, but yeah, I'm excited to hear about your trip to Bowling Green.
I know. Yeah. I don't know. Give me some food suggestions. Yeah. Somebody give me some food suggestions.
We didn't really get to eat out a lot, while we were there for softball. You know, just cause we were tied up and then I got food poisoning, which was a tough one.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry to bring that back up.
But yeah, I hope that, yeah, you guys have a great trip. That's going to be really exciting. Just kind of a teaser. We'll be getting a lot of really great interviews with a few members of our 2025 CUSA Hall of Fame class that will be on campus for their recognition in this one. So you and Dane will be out there. Commissioner McLeod will be out there, doing a lot of interviews, doing a lot of things. So yeah, this will be a fun one. A lot of pageantry. We got a pregame concert.
I was about to say, we're about to have a country concert. Yeah. We get to go to Blanco Brown. I'm so sorry. Hip hop country.
You've been listening on Spotify. You've been trying to study up.
Maybe tonight. I've been trying to study my podcast questions. So.
Yeah.
More important.
Fair. Get that out of the way first, and then study up on the concert so you can sing along. Yeah.
Ooh. Hey, I love hip hop, but the country. I don't. we're gonna have to see what he's working with. But I feel like that's a good mixture, though.
Yeah,
I feel like I can vibe with that.
Someone said I think he's like Shaboozy a little bit. So,
okay,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
I do like Shaboozy.
There you go.
Maybe I do need to listen tonight. I will.
Gotta have an open mind, Jess.
Yes.
Come on.
Blanco Brown, but say Blanco again. Blanco Brown. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. For Wednesday night, we got Delaware at Jack State, and I mean, I'm pretty sure Jack State has all the momentum right now. That one is at 6 p.m. on ESPN2.
ESPN. Now we got upgraded this week.
Yeah.
We were super. I know it was outdated on my standings thing here, but we've got some awesome news over the weekend that ESPN's upgrading that. I think just based on their playoff baseball schedule, a slot opened up on Wednesday to move them to the flagship channel. So first game on ESPN in 2 years. We had La Tech WKU on there a couple of years ago. So obviously a great chance for Jack State to get some additional exposure, but also Delaware, mm-hmm. the newbie to FBS, just to kind of show off their brand of football. This one's going to be a good one. Yeah, I'm really excited.
I think it's just huge for them, especially for both of these two programs. So I'm happy that this game got moved up.
Yeah, I think on the field, matchup of two of the best running backs in the league in recent weeks, against some less than stellar defenses against the run. So a chance for both these guys to shine. Cam Cook, we talked about him in the recap. He's got almost 150 yards per game and 5 touchdowns in his last 3 games. Joe Silver averaging nearly 100 yards per game with 3 touchdowns in his last 3 outings. So it's going to be quite a show between these two.
It's just about to be a battle back and forth. I think this is about to be a very, very tight game.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting a blowout at all. I think this is about to be like a back and forth.
I think it'll be very similar to the Delaware WKU game, where it really will come down to those last couple drives. Yeah, and just it'll come down to coaching too. But I think a fun one in this one is I was researching just like, because, you know, obviously just looking at the series with our new teams against current teams, Delaware, Jack State, played a couple times, most recently in the 2020 FCS quarterfinals. Delaware beat Jack State 20-14. Already saw a little bit of chirping on Twitter from the Delaware fan, like just reminding them, you know, what happened in that one. And so, yeah, this will be a fun one. I also love it's chicken battle. Yeah, Blue Hens and Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that. Okay. Maybe they need to sell some chicken at the game. I feel like that's
a little sacrilegious, but I like it's kind of like that Allstate commercial or State Farm, I can't remember which one it was, where the guy walks up to the Oregon tailgate with a duck, and he's like, and they're like, bro, what?
Read the room.
Yeah.
My bad, guys. My bad.
But yes, a good one nonetheless on Wednesday. And then what do we got to wrap us up?
Our last one, UTEP at Sam Houston, 6 p.m. Also, we have two 6 p.m. starts.
Yeah. Wednesday.
That's unusual.
I know.
He's just
I feel
6'7".
I know. Yeah.
Oh no!
Dang it, Jess.
I set myself up for failure.
You did. Yeah. I think we even made a joke about that in external last week. So we did have games that were at 6 and 7, and someone said it in external. We were like, no.
I can't.
But yeah, no, normally we got some staggered kicks, but this time you got to get the multi-view on, or I guess not multi-view because they're not both on ESPN, but get your other monitor, whatever you got to do to watch both these ones. As I talked about earlier with UTEP, you know, really the front seven on defense has to remain dominant in this one. You know, top of the nation in tackles for loss and sacks. Same Houston State, 131st in both categories. So if UTEP can continue to get in the backfield, this should give them an opportunity to get back on track with a win. Really, the biggest question is going to be who's going to start under center, because we've seen a lot of just kind of instability there with who's going to play there. But
I think this one might be a nitty-gritty one, too. They're fighting for their first USA win this season. So
yeah, I know.
We're going to pull that one out.
Yep, a good one between two Lone Star State teams. But definitely stay tuned in on our Week 8 weekday CUSA action. We're going to turn the page. Some of our other sports going on. Want to give some love to all the other fall sports and upcoming winter sports, as I mentioned. Basketball coming up. Our CUSA basketball tip-off show airs at noon Central Time tomorrow or Tuesday if you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to this. But if you're not able to catch it live, you can always watch it on demand on ESPN Plus. Super excited to get for everyone to get a chance to hear from all of our coaches, student athletes. Commissioner McLeod will be on there just to talk about, you know, what's going on in the league, what to look out for this year. It's gonna be fun.
It's exciting season. It's always, I think it's so exciting when two new teams come in.
Yeah.
Because you just never know how those two teams will, you know, play out for this season. And I feel like it's something about the newcomers that it's like good mojo. It's like they never do pretty bad. I feel like in a preseason poll, they're always like, you know, at the bottom. But then somehow, some way, when that season ends, they're like top five, like top six. And you're just like, these new teams did not come to play in this conference, and I love that for them.
Yeah, yeah, and we've seen it across all our sports, but yeah, I'm excited. I think mostly in women's basketball through you, like with Missouri State coming in off a 28-win season, and obviously it's a loaded group there at the top of the women's basketball preseason poll, and it's just going to be like, yeah, like how do they kind of edge their way in and like find their way among the Louisiana Techs, the Middle Tennessees, the WKUs, there's a lot of talented teams there.
It'll be very interesting before because they were picked fourth, right? And that's very high expectation for them. But I think this Missouri State team has so much confidence just what they were able to do just over the past years.
Yeah.
They have so many NCAA tournament appearances, so many Sweet 16s, I think, what, two or four Final Four appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like this team has
a lot of history,
a lot of confidence behind it. So I think that they're stepping in here like not worried too much. It's just like, hey, we have something to prove and we have the stat line to back it up. And they have really good multiple players. One of their players even made the preseason all-conference team, Faith Lee. So I think it'll be very, very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, tune in to the tip-off show Tuesday, October 14th, noon Central on ESPN Plus, or catch it whenever it's convenient for you. A lot of good things to learn about on the basketball court. But let's talk a little fall sports. I'll start with soccer. We talked a couple weeks ago about a big matchup between Liberty and FIU. It was a rematch of last year's championship game. Liberty goes on the road in Miami, beats them 2-1. And now they've won their last two matches. They're back up into first with 14 points. So
that's definitely a revenge game because they lost on a FIU's field in the championship game. So I think that was a big one for them because I know they were pretty, not concerned, but like, okay, this is a rematch of last year. And this could be a potential even matchup for in the next coming weeks for in the championship. So I think it was a big one for Liberty, especially just how it's been going in conference play. They've been tying a lot, I've been seeing. So for them to get one in the win column, some extra points for them. So I know that they're really happy about that one.
Yeah, definitely. And WKU also towards the top of the table right now, picked up a 1-0 road win at Sam Houston, handed the Bearcats their first conference loss. And WKU also undefeated.
It's insane. I saw that, I was like, WKU, okay.
Yeah, and I know that they've had a couple down years recently. They used to have, be a consistent, you know, contender in the league. So I'm happy to see them kind of back in the mix for a conference title potentially. But Liberty and WKU both have already clinched tourney spots. We've only got two weekends left of conference play before the tournament, which is crazy. So obviously a lot of games with a lot of things to play for still coming up. A big one coming up this Sunday, Liberty goes on the road at Delaware, who's been an extremely impressive team. We saw them go unbeaten for a long time to begin the year. But yeah, Liberty's got to go on the road again with a tough opponent, 11 a.m. Central on Sunday, October 19th. So we'll see if they can stay undefeated or potentially lose to the CUSA newbie.
I don't know. They had a really good non-conference like run.
Yeah.
And I think that really boosted their confidence of just being in CUSA. So
yeah.
Liberty knows that this is a big one. And these next 2 weeks is very crucial, especially for all these teams where you're trying to be the top eight teams. And the crazy thing to think about it, WKU didn't even make the tournament last year. So the simple fact that they've clinched even 2 weeks out is very, very impressive.
Yeah, that's got to be a relief too. Like, not that you're still not playing anything for, right? Because, you know, just with the format, you want to get the right matchup. You want to get, you know, a good seed. But, you know, that's definitely a relief to just be like, all right, we're in. You know, we're not having to like scrap the final weekend just to get there. So, but all right, soccer, lots of exciting things going on as we get close, you know, get down to the home stretch here. But volleyball, what's going on and on the court, Jess?
I know. UTEP, WKU, of course, another team. WKU, sports in general, WKU. Yeah. It's just so
good time. Right?
Yeah, it's very impressive. Of course, at the top of the leaderboard, WKU is always up there. UTEP is also undefeated in Conference USA play. We're 6 games in.
Yeah.
We're 3 weeks. Time literally flies. It's so mind-boggling to me. I'm like, I feel like we just started football. We just started volleyball. We just started soccer. And now we're winding down. Like, we're about to be in November.
So. Yeah.
But 6-0, neither of them has dropped a set in road. Like,
that's crazy.
They've been sweeping everybody. And the crazy thing is, not this upcoming week, but next week, those two finally will face off against each other. And I think that game, I think every year it's just like, who will, you know, come out on top. And last year I was like, okay, this one is like a toss-up. But I think this year, and I don't want to jinx anybody, but I think UTEP has the ability this year to maybe win at least one game out of the 2 games that weekend against WKU. UTEP is returning all of their players from last year. WKU, they have new players. They have new key players. So I think they're still trying to find the rhythm, which they have been. But both of them has been having amazing non-conference schedules. And you want a good non-conference schedule because that ultimately builds you up for
it. Got to be battle-tested. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just... It'll be very, very interesting. But, I mean, 4 teams at 4-2. Delaware is up there. In Delaware, just being a newbie. They've had a slow non-conference run. And I think we were a little bit concerned. Like, okay, Delaware was picked 4th in the preseason poll.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, Delaware's about to be very, very good. I think their non-conference, you know, shook them a little bit. But I think that prepared them for Conference USA play. So now they're 4-2. They've had back-to-back weekends where I think they won both games or both.
Matches.
Oh my gosh, matches, yes. So I think they are riding on a high right now. And then they go against FIU, who's a really, really good this year. They're
also 4-2.
Yes, yeah. They're also 4-2. And I think that's just a big matchup. And then it's at FIU. The championship this year is at FIU. So I think if you have an away game at FIU, it's a little chance just to, you know, keep the scenery out. Mm-hmm. See how it will be when the championship atmosphere is there at the end of November. But Delaware at FIU, I can't even tell you who I think will even win that. I think it might be split.
I was going to say, that'd be my prediction. So, yeah, we'll see how I think we knew coming into this. We talked about it when we talked with both ADs over the summer that both of them really expected to come in and compete across the board. You know, Missouri State's getting there. We're kind of seeing some good moments on you know, the women's soccer side, on you know, obviously with football, but I mean, Delaware is like, we knew they were one that was like, they're going to be potentially the next Liberty, right? Because it's like, okay, they're towards the top in football, towards the top in soccer, towards the top in volleyball. Like, and it's only going to keep getting better with some of the other sports. So, shout out to Blue Ends.
Yes, but I also want to give a shout out to Conference USA because right now we are ranked number 9 in RPI for volleyball. So,
nice.
I think that's really, really good. Just being in the top 10. Because I know in past years we really haven't been. So just to be 9, I think that's just a great shout out to our teams.
Well, and when you look ahead to tournament, you know, potentially multiple bids, that's going to be a big thing to lean on to just be like, all right, you know, even if UTEP or WKU, whichever one doesn't win, you know, for them to be able to say, hey, okay, we still won 15, 16 matches in a top 10 conference. Like, we're equipped to be in that field. And we saw it last year. I think it's probably trending towards that being the case this year. It's really just a matter of which one's going to have to sweat it out, maybe.
But no, it definitely is. Because UCF right now is ranked 20 in RPI. And I think that is insane. Last week, they were 25.
Yeah.
This week, they're 20. WKU is 50. So it's definitely a chance of whoever loses that one would definitely probably more than likely get an at-large bid. So I love that part too.
Oh yeah, that's great for us for sure. But yeah, and then they both go or they're both returning home to face Sam Houston La Tech. They're both 0-6, so probably a good chance that they're gonna be 8-0 when we talk about them again. So yeah, I'm really excited for you said the week after is when they play. So, yeah, we'll definitely be talking lots about that one. May have to have some, well, I know we're going to talk to Travis Hudson, when you go to WKU, I'm sure that'll be a point of conversation of just, you know, having a team like that. I know like a few years ago, it was them and Rice. Mm-hmm. It was always, you know, them two at the top and, you know, getting at large spots or whatever. Now it's like UTEP. They're kind of emerging as like this, you know, kind of new rival for them.
Yes,
so.
And that's just a big shout out to Ben Wallace, their head coach. It's just the program that he's created over there in El Paso has been massive, and the El Paso fans love it. They pack that gym, Memorial Gym. It's just like every week when they have a home game, I see pictures, and it's just like all fans all around it. I mean, UTEP hosted last year, and even then, it was just like crowded. They have a whole DJ. It's very live in that
gym. Awesome.
So the atmosphere
is
crazy. I mean, WKU has always been a volleyball powerhouse, so they always have fans come out and support them, and they've always have like really, really good crowds. But I think volleyball is emerging as a really fan favorite for El Paso.
Yeah, I love it. I used to be volleyball SID. That was always one of the most fun. It's just electric, and yeah, the environments are so much fun. So shout out to USA Volleyball. But Jess, thank you so much for coming on the pod this week, helping me kind of cover everything going on this week. But really appreciate all of you for tuning in for a really fun episode this week. Big thanks to Kennesaw State and Tylan Dunlap for joining the show as well. Little housekeeping, as always, you can follow us at USA Insider Pod on X, Instagram. You can stay, you know, up to date on all of our episode releases and just anything else going on as it pertains to the show. And you know, for those of you who are listening, appreciate your longtime fandom. Continue to listen on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you haven't watched the show, head over to YouTube. Give us a watch. It's a lot of fun. I know it's a little awkward with the top plays whenever you're just listening to us talk through them, but it's a lot more fun when you're watching us see all of our crazy antics. But again, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas signing off.